Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on March 7th.
That's right, a beautiful March 7th.
No yeah, rain. It no is. Rain. Yeah, we went through, what, three?
I thought I was going to float away. I was worried.
Yeah, well, you should be.
Yeah,
you
Point Doom almost got, it almost got washed off the map for a
Did
little
it
bit.
Did it really?
Yeah, but we're okay.
Everybody's so you're actually good. In Point Doom or Malibu?
Point Doom.
Point Doom.
Yeah, Point Doom.
So this man has been through a lot the past couple of months.
Felt like Noah and Elijah all combined in Malibu this past couple of months. So,
but we've been good.
It was interesting to see how green and beautiful everything is on the way in. All this rain has certainly shown you how quickly the earth recovers from a tragedy. So,
well, you know, somewhere, I agree with you. Somewhere on the news recently, very recently, they were showing an area that was just completely covered with poppies.
Mm-hmm.
Orange poppies. It was like spectacular. You could see it from the freeway, and people were pulling off to get into the land to walk through the poppies.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, that's the payoff of these kinds of things in some sort of odd way.
That's right. A good metaphor for life. Things always get better after the dark times.
Exactly.
Michael, as you said, it is March 7th, and we are here today talking about a deeply moving and inspirational show at Sierra Madre Playhouse, and a special treat for our listeners. One of my favorite performers in Los Angeles has stopped by to add a hint of magic to State of the Arts, as he has done at hundreds of venues across California.
That's right, Andrew. We are joined today by two of the stars of Tuesdays with Maury, as well as that spectacular illusionist that you just mentioned. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to State of the Arts, Larry Eisenberg, Jackson Kendall, and Micah Cover.
Gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, how are you today?
That's a good crowd.
Yeah,
that's
a
good crowd.
Our studio audience loves
us. Very impressive.
We got a bunch of dudes in the studio today, man.
We do.
It's awesome.
We haven't had four.
It's like a frat party, man. Bring in the beer. Obviously, we got some fun stuff to talk about here today, Michael, and we'll get back with our guest in just a moment. But before we do, Michael, let's go ahead and thank our sponsors so we can stay on the air. How's that?
Absolutely. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board. Anybody?
I saw what you did there. Yeah. You made a punny.
It's a slow, slow day.
Ahoy.
They are our presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month, from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
Mm-mm-mm.
So make sure to enter every month here at LA Talk Radio, State of the Arts. Go to our page and you will see the Princess logo. You click on that and you can enter as many times as you like. And Andrew, it is a $5,000 gift.
Wow. Am I eligible?
No.
What about us?
Said I'm out of here. You guys are eligible.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you know this in your contracts or not, but you're required to take Michael or I as your guests. So just be ready for
true.
That.
Done.
Michael's like, I'm not entering anymore. I'm done.
Wait a minute.
That's a great cruise. And obviously the great people at Princess love and care about the live arts so much.
Yes, they do.
And as always, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed.
That crowd, man. That crowd is amazing.
We have fans.
You guys, this is incredible. They really do. And puns.
Obviously, we've had a lot going on here at State of the Arts. It's been a busy week. We had a couple great shows last month that were kind of leading us into some fun stuff this month.
Yeah.
This one's cool because the second week in a row, we've had three people in studio.
That's true.
A lot of
That's
good stuff true. Going on.
Now, I haven't seen you for a week, so what have you been up to?
A good question. I have had a busy, busy, crazy week. I'm shooting two films right now.
Really?
One of which I'm actually directing the fights for, which is cool, as opposed to just choreographing them, which is nice, called 3-2-1, and the other one called Sometimes We Sleep, which is about a guy who wanders into a police station and kind of has his life changed over that time. But it's interesting because being on set gives you such a different feeling than being in the theater.
Right.
Like, I was watching as they were doing these short little takes, you know, 3- and 4-line takes, and I'm thinking, where's the continuity? Where's the rhythm? You know, this kind of stuff. And sure enough, in the editing room, they worked their magic. But as a theater guy, I walk onto a film set and I have to readjust. I have to go, wait a minute. We don't need to get this all in one. You don't have to cover mistakes. You know, you just got to get up there and do your job. Right. And it's interesting to find out how different those mediums are. Because on this show, Hoyt Richards, you know, all these great film people that we have in here, Steven Weber, Alfred Molina, who we've had talk about this.
Right.
Theater people as well. You know, Alfred was with the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yeah.
That's a very different talent, which I was reminded of this week.
But you know, you said something interesting with regard to the editing, mm-hmm. the film editing. And you know that this year was going to be the first year that the Oscars were not going to include that award in the telecast.
I saw that.
Calling a celebrity up to give it out. And they changed their mind at the last minute due to an editor's plea that they reconsider this.
Probably their editor who was editing for the broadcast saying, it's going in either way, I don't care.
Exactly.
You know, it should be noted, too, the Oscars don't have an award for stunt performance, which a lot of the guys I work with, guys and women that I work with, you know, they've given their lives and their bodies. They're usually toast by 40 or 45 in a lot of cases. And, you know, they've done that, and there's no acknowledgement for them with
and
the Oscars.
And all those celebrities who pull stunts.
Yeah. That's right. There's plenty of Oscars for those, though, as we've
exactly.
seen. How about you? Did you have a good week?
I did. I had an interesting show to see, which I've seen before. This one had a little bit of a different touch to it. It's Ragtime, the musical, mm-hmm. which is such a great vehicle and a beautiful show, and the music and the score, unforgettable to me, and how relevant it is still today.
Yeah.
And it was at the Pasadena Playhouse, directed by David Lee. David is really a television director who has, you know, foray into a theater and has been successful with it. His take on the show that was different than other shows that I've seen.
In what
versions
way?
Of it. You know, it wasn't quite, it was a little mechanical, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, from a directorial standpoint. The set was beautiful. The talent, starring Clifton Duncan and Bryce Charles, Zachary Ford, Valerie Perry, Diedrich Bonner, Cornelius Jones Jr., Shannon Warren, Mark Ginsburg, Catherine McDonough, all of these people and more.
Michael Thomas Visker,
yes,
another great
Michael
friend
Thomas
of
Visker.
State of the Arts.
Couldn't have asked for a better cast. But there was something that left me just a little bit cold about it this time.
Hmm.
Even though, you know, it was an astounding reception from the audience and probably people that hadn't seen it before.
The story itself is so compelling
very
as well.
Much so.
Yeah.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pasadena Playhouse always puts on great events. This was, it can be counted as a very good event, you know, on my radar. But it was the last weekend, so that's why I went to see it.
Well, some of those people you mentioned, I would sit down and watch perform anywhere,
well,
regardless of anything
especially
else.
Especially having just had Valerie here
no
in the
doubt.
Studio. Valerie
she was playing
Perry.
Emma Goldman, correct?
Yes,
yeah,
she did a wonderful job.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really wonderful.
Unbelievable.
Her voice is so stunning.
Did you get out to see any other theater?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that. I've got two sick pups at
oh,
home
my
that
goodness.
Need my attention. They're both beagles. And they're in and out of the woods on something I don't know where they're getting it or giving it to one another. You know,
yeah.
So they might have eaten something strange. But
they're missing Papa. They want you to stay home with them.
They did. They did, for sure. At any rate, let's get back to the business.
Shall we bring in one of these handsome doubles sitting here? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is an accomplished actor, writer, and director. He wrote and directed the short film, David Proshnik. Can you say that?
Proshkar.
You can't David buy those Proshkar. Teeth through the mail anymore.
Boy, you know, it's funny. You know? The lips are the problem these days, I tell you. David Proshkar, which has been broadcast on KCET and scripted the feature film Fish Don't Blink, which is also a fact, correct? Fish Don't
yeah,
Blink.
That's a fact.
Which starred Leah Thompson.
I just interviewed Leah Thompson few weeks ago when we went to see the opening of Hello, Dolly.
Yeah, she's
yeah it's
great.
Funny, as we were walking in, I saw one of your photos was Sean Stack.
Sure.
And
Sean Stack was in the original play version of a play that I wrote called Nautilus, which then was turned into a feature film.
Wow.
And now Sean, I guess, is a colorist for... For the film industry.
Cool.
It's just odd that I happened to see his
How
picture
funny.
As we were walking in here.
Small industry we work in.
Yeah, it really is, because I haven't
mean,
seen him.
A colorist?
He's the guy who balances the color in all the films. You know, like when the films that I did, you know, we had to take it over to Photochem, and so you have to hire a colorist to make sure that all the color matches mm-hmm. and is consistent.
So he doesn't do hair. That's what we've not done last year.
I'd be very disappointed.
Well, that's cool. I guess so. And like Technicolor would, and you work for that company, you'd be considered a colorist.
Even that's just right. a little lighting change or something can drastically change the colors. So the saturations have to be adjusted every time. That's a tough job.
Yeah, and it's funny because I see Sean's photo, and we're talking about Tuesdays with Maury, which is the play that I'm doing with Jackson now, and here's this face from 20 years ago that just pops up, and when you're talking to Jackson, turns out that his uncle was a man that I knew like 30 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. What are the odds of that?
Small world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really consistent with the whole idea of living your life about other people and keeping relationships going, which is kind of a central theme of the play.
Very true.
The gentleman
Very
that we're true. Talking to gets another little bump here on his introduction because I interrupted that. So, originally from New Jersey, he first came to California to play Antonio in Comedy of Errors mm-hmm. with the L.A. Free Shakespeare Company. Some of his favorite roles include Kit Carson in Time of Your Life, Edgar in King Lear, and the conductor in the Los Angeles premiere of Terrence McNally's Prelude and Lieberstadt.
As he currently serves as one of two co-artistic directors at the Lonnie Chapman Group Repertory Theater, which he has directed numerous productions for, including The Poor of New York, The Chinese Wall, and Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers. That's a lot of locations. The Poor of New York, The Chinese Wall, and Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers. All over the world there, man. For which he received the Broadway World Regional Best Director Award for a local production.
He's with us today to talk about his starring role as Maury in the Sierra Madre Playhouse production of Tuesdays with Maury on stage now through March 31st. Please give a warm welcome to Larry Eisenberg.
Thank you, guys.
They love you.
Larry, so really glad to have you here.
And I don't blame them.
When I came out here, one of my first professional roles was as Kent in King Lear. Oh. And I remember I love the play so much. In fact, one of my embarrassing moments comes from a tour that I did with King Lear. But it's interesting because Edgar is such a difficult part to play because it's really two parts.
Yeah.
And Shakespeare does that so often. But that must have been a great role to come out and do.
Yeah, it was, and it's interesting that you mentioned that. One of the first Shakespearean plays I ever saw was a production of King Lear at the MacArthur Theater in Princeton, New Jersey.
Wow.
And I think I was 15 years old, and I remember thinking to myself, it's the same guy playing Edgar that plays Mad Tom.
Oh, that's funny.
What a really great job he has done with those two different characters.
Yeah.
I never realized that they were the same character, and when I played it, and I played it with George Koloris as the Lear, and George had been a member of Orson Welles' Mercury Players.
Wow.
He was the guardian of Charles Foster Kane. And that was interesting, too, because he played the part when he was in his 30s.
Amazing.
And when I was with him, he was 75.
Wow.
He didn't look at all like he had done in Citizen Kane. But anyway, the thing with Edgar, it dawned on me that he's not that good at posing. He's not as good an actor as an actor.
Interesting.
And so my choice with it was that he failed in his Tom of Bedlam sequences, and it made it very, very compelling, very, very poignant.
Which leads to a lot of the tragedy at the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of my embarrassing moments is when I'm playing Kent, you know, they offer Kent the crown at the end of the movie, and my little two-year-old was so excited because she thought I'd won the play, and she stood up and goes, "Yay, Daddy, you won!"
Oh,
1,500
so
people turned around and looked at my little girl. I had her in the back trying to keep her out. It's like 1,500 people looking at that little two-year-old. She's just happy as can be. So,
well, that's awesome.
Pretty funny.
I can tell you a story about the lyric. We were doing Shakespeare in Rep, and so we were also doing As You Like It, and I played Jaques in As You Like It.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has that speech, "All the world's a stage," and all the rest. George was in only to play King Lear. A week before we opened Lear, he shows up for a performance of As You Like It, and at the end of it, he does not say anything to me. And I'm a bit put back.
Sure.
On opening night of Lear, it would open with this, as you know, Gloucester and Kent and Edmund are there. They have a little scene, and then this procession comes in. King Lear says, "Attend the Dukes of France and Burgundy, Gloucester."
Right.
He sends Gloucester off. So we have this procession of 30 people. I'm in the back of it as Edgar. He's in the front, and he's and just as the scene is going on, he says, "Edgar, come over here for a minute." So I went over, and he says, "I saw your production of As You Like It, and your performance is Jaques." And I said, "Yes, George, I know you were there." And he says, "Well, did you know that in 1958, I played Jaques at the old, at the, was it the Victory Theater in London?" I said, "Yes, George, I had read your biography. I knew you had played Jaques." And then he says, "And I was awful also."
Oh, no.
Flings the doors open and comes out with his first line, "Attend the Dukes of France and Burgundy, Gloucester."
Good luck acting. Have fun.
Yeah,
hey, well, fortunately, we happen to know that you're an amazing actor, and I hear you're doing a great, great job with this role of Maury, the title role in Tuesdays with Maury.
Yeah,
Tell me how that came about.
You know, it's a two-hander. It's a two-character play. It's the rare thing where you're in there with another person and only another person, and a director named El Flint Escara, who had done a couple of shows for me at the Group Rep, called me up about 8 months ago and said, "I'd like to do a reading." And I had two rehearsals with Jackson here, and it went so well, they decided to produce the play. And it's a very, very exciting thing when it's a two-hander, when there are two people.
No doubt.
And, you know, it's like the two of you are trying to keep swimming without sinking, and it's really been a privilege to work with Jackson for these last few weeks. It feels like it's been months, but it really hasn't.
Unless you get extended, then it would
be. Yeah, you know, it's great that we had the reading 8 months ago, and then had that period of time to kind of just digest it all before coming in to rehearse.
Well, you know, the Sierra Madre Playhouse, I think since their new artistic director has come in to play, has really brought some wonderful different theater there that didn't exist in the past. You know, it's always been a reputable place to go in such a lovely, beautiful setting.
Great little town.
In Sierra Madre and those mountains behind.
Beautiful.
It's really, you don't see that in small towns. And that is a small town, a rich small town, actually. But I love going out there seeing shows for that very reason. You know, you eat across the street in one of the nice restaurants and, you know, go to your seat there. And it's a good space to play, right?
It's a fabulous place to play, and the audiences are very warm, and it really feels like a community.
And they curate the lobby, you know, I think for every show, don't they, with the everything that's specific to the production itself.
The name of the show, of course, we're talking about is Tuesdays with Maury, which is a great piece at the Sierra Madre Playhouse. Easiest way to get tickets is go to sierramadreplayhouse.org.
Yep.
They've got a great website, pretty easy to use. Tickets, I believe, are $40, and seniors are $36. Students as well get a discount. Easiest way to do is go to that website. But there's also a phone number, isn't there, Michael?
Yes, there is. 626-355-4318 will get you in. And call that sooner than later. You know, we like to say on this show that you need to be remembering that everything on television isn't what really is the most important thing, but being out there in life is, and if you have a family and take your children, I don't know whether this would be appropriate for children, but is there an age limit?
No, I think it would work for kids as well. I mean, the theme is, you know, kind of, I guess, sad, you know, because someone dies, although the fact is...
Oh, thanks, ruin the ending.
yeah, spoiler alert.
You can edit that out.
Yeah.
Somebody may die.
but surprisingly, the show is much funnier than one would think. I mean, as we were getting ready, you know, I kept thinking, boy, I hope that we get some laughs, because this show is going to die if there aren't any laughs.
Those last few rehearsals before we had it.
Yeah, because everybody had seen the play.
Nobody's there.
Yeah, we've done this. We're ready to go, but there's no response coming from the audience at all. And because there's no audience.
I find the show and the book as well inspirational, though. And this is about connecting with people.
And it's funny. And we were talking earlier. This is the single largest selling memoir ever published in the world.
Unbelievable.
Apparently it has reached cult status in Asia. They've sold millions and millions and millions of copies in China. So there's something very special about the piece, and I think part of it is it's about finding joy even in the face of all these obstacles. So I'm surprised that it's as joyous a piece of material as it is, because I've done, you know, Neil Simon comedies that haven't gotten as many laughs as this show
gets.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
really.
That's a testament to something.
No doubt.
Well, to continue with what I was saying, and then we'll wrap it up here, but take your family out.
Yeah.
Take them to the live performing arts, because if you don't, we're not going to be able to have that luxury in the future, and we don't want that to happen.
Can I say one more thing?
Certainly.
There is one public performance. It's Pay What You Can.
Oh, that's great.
It's Monday, March 18th at 7 p.m., and you can go to the website. You can reserve tickets. It will cost you nothing to reserve the tickets using, you know, their web interface. And then you just show up and you give them $2 or $5 or a buck and a half, whatever you have, and you can see this show.
What a great thing. I'm glad they
that
do that.
Indeed.
I didn't see that on the press release. That's awesome. Awesome stuff.
And for those
Maybe
of you...
they didn't want me to say anything about that.
No. There's a theater in town that does that routinely.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couple of theaters.
That's great.
So Christian Lobano is the artistic director there, and that's who I was referencing earlier. So hello to you, Christian. We like everything you do out there.
Well, and obviously we'll come back and talk more about Tuesdays with Maury here in a bit, but we should take a break and introduce the gentleman sitting to my right. Our live arts calendar today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special treat. We'll be talking with a man of many talents. He is a performer, a storyteller, a writer, and an MC, and one of the greatest magicians this city has to offer. He has lent his mystical talents to countless venues, including the famed Magic Castle, where his long-running hit Night of the Raven has been a perpetual smash.
He joins us today in the studio to tell us about his current show, A Night of Unforgettable Magic, that is immediately followed by the ultimate improv adventure, Dungeon Master, on Sunday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Vortex. We're happy to have him with us. Please welcome the master of magic and mystery, Micah Cover.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Jackson.
You had a devil because Jackson literally gave you a standing ovation.
Listeners, you couldn't see this, but Jackson led the audience. That was just, he led a Micah wave, I think. He led a Micah wave.
A Micah wave.
That was Jackson, thank you, brother.
Micah Cover, I remember.
Thank you, man.
Micah Cover, I remember when we met. I remember the day. Now, you and I had worked on a number of projects, including, I think, Delusion together with Neil Patrick Harris and John
Braver. I opened for you.
That's right.
I was your opener.
That's right. But you and I officially met when you came to see Dark Heart of Poe the first night. And it was a small house. We'd done it very intimate, very few seats. And I remember watching you as we were setting up, and you were flipping a coin across your knuckles. And I remember thinking, I want to know who this guy is and if he's watching the show or if he's going to be doing something else. I thought, we've already bored him. We haven't even started yet. You were such an attentive audience member. And not only after that, but you came up and you talked in depth about your love of Poe. And you told me about Night of the Raven, which is a benefit that you've done at the Magic Castle. How many years have you done that?
this November, and they just announced they gave us a date.
Hey, so you're doing it again this year?
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
This November.
Let's give a little applause for Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, Jackson, thank you. Jackson, Jackson, sit down. For God's sake, Jackson. That's effusive, Jackson. Thank you, Jackson.
That's why we got into this business.
You've got to have Jackson on every podcast,
that's
man. This guy's amazing.
He's a maestro.
He's a maestro.
Micah, when's your date in November? What are you doing?
Well, they haven't told us that we can release the actual date yet. They just made it official that they're bringing us back.
That's
but
awesome.
Thank you. But to answer your question, this will be our 15th annual.
Wow.
And you were there at least once, I believe.
Three times.
Oh, my
three times. In fact,
gosh.
Can I give a little away something
please.
You do?
Yeah.
So one of my favorites is Micah does the Raven while in a straitjacket, and he gets himself out of the straitjacket. And, you know, I've performed at the Magic Castle. Did you know that?
I believe I opened for you there as well.
The way I perform at the Magic Castle is Michael invites me up to be a patsy as he does whatever he wants to me and makes me look foolish in front of all my friends showing that I don't have any magical powers whatsoever. Although I did magically come up with a card one time. It's weird. I can only do it when Mike is around. It's kind of strange. I guess my magical powers are only related to you.
I'm merely your vessel, man.
But I will tell you, I watched his performance of The Raven, and it was truly haunting to realize the metaphor of Edgar, how he must have felt being trapped alone with the alcoholism and all that, and then manifesting that with a straitjacket escape. Very cool.
Man. Thank you for being there.
The main room when you're at the Magic Castle?
They tell me where I go. Yeah. So yeah, you know the lingo. There's more than one theater at the castle. And they have had the Night of the Raven so far in three different theaters over the 15 years. And this coming 15th annual will be in a theater called The Peller, where they often do kind of more loose, improvised magic shows. And that's where they're going to have us this year, in The Peller.
What does Neil Patrick Harris, other than being a magician himself and a fine actor and a star, have to do with this Magic Castle? Did he buy the Magic Castle?
You're right. He needs to be more talented. So I think he bought the Magic. No, he is actually a very accomplished magician. In fact, when he hosted the Oscars, he performed a prediction. And it worked.
Wow.
And as far as I know, it was the only time a magic trick has ever even been attempted in Oscars history.
It's amazing.
And it worked. He's a very talented guy. He was our president, I'm guessing about 2 years.
Yeah.
And he was very hands-on. He would actually ask me questions. It was surreal.
Wow.
Most of the time, where's Jackson? We need a better crowd. But he asked me some other things as well. But yeah, he's a very talented magician. In fact, when he would do cameos on shows, like when he was the arch rival on Glee, he actually performed magic as part of the plot as to why he was better than Mr. Shu.
Mm-hmm.
So they always find, and I believe he did a lot of magic in How I Met Your Mother. He's just a very accomplished guy.
Oh, and I realize that as far as the magic is concerned. But so he has no financial stake in the building?
Correct. Yeah, there are no financial ties, as far as I know, to anybody who is president or in the board or anything like that.
At one point that it was having trouble financially, and he went in and assisted. So maybe that's all it was.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know that to be true. It's just something that kind of sticks with me. So
yeah, there was a year where they increased our dues. That was before NPH. That's what I call him.
NPH. Because
we're tight.
You guys are tight. You can
he calls
that.
Me NPC. He says, NPC, where's Jackson? We need a better crowd.
I'm just thinking about Doogie Howser right now.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But he just did it for the passion of it, and we were lucky to have him. He was a wonderful leader.
Well, he's a great supporter of the magic arts, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Really
cool.
Now, you got to tell me, because you're doing, obviously, you're available for parties all the time. I know that you are constantly working. You teach classes and you give tours at the Magic Castle as well, which I've been lucky enough to join in on time or two. And I tell you, the history that you tell us about, all that sort of thing, it's really inspiring. That's a great building and you're a great representative for it.
Thanks,
but even
man.
More than that, you're opening for Dungeon Masters. Yeah. Tell me about that. What is that, man?
Yeah, Jackson and I were talking about this. This is the Jackson show. We need it's a drinking game. Every time you hear Jackson, ding, everybody take a shot.
Our listenership is going to skyrocket if we start
rocket.
That.
it is a LARP, live action role playing theatrical experience. So a lot of people, when we think of LARP, we think of a bunch of guys getting up in a costume and hanging out in a park, and they create their own story. This is like that, but it's on stage. And members of the audience are invited impromptu to become a part of the plot, to play characters that they've already created in their minds. And there's a loose script, but wow. for the most part, the cast just watches the audience members, sees what they do, and they basically decide the plot structure and even the finale. Hmm. I've seen a very dramatic mass suicide where it ended, they all decided, yeah, let's go into that cave. They all died. It was like everybody was wearing a red shirt on some episode of Star Trek, and they all go into the cave. They all die, and the show lasted like 9 minutes.
Show over,
and the cast was just staring at each other. Well, good night, folks. And so that's
but
that
if you
can
want bang
happen.
For your theater buck, you can just make it last for 4 hours. And you're like, well, yeah, the show costs a certain amount, but I'm telling you, I was there for 4 hours. It was awesome.
Exactly, exactly. Time has no meaning.
Well, now this is at the Vortex. Is
yes,
that correct?
In downtown LA.
March 10th is their next show.
This coming Sunday. Okay. And I have the privilege of opening for them.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Easiest way for people to go see this is to go visit their Facebook page. Is that right?
Yes, there is an actual Facebook event. And I'm so glad you asked ADJ. That's what I call him because we're tight. We're
MPH,
so tight.
ADJ.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a Facebook event. You just look up Dungeon Master Spring 2019. But they also have their own website, the-dungeonmaster.
And are you doing strolling magic this whole time?
Well, I'm actually going to do a show on stage, a 30-minute set, kind of like what I might do at the castle. And then I'm opening for them, and then the games begin, literally.
Well, now I know. Obviously, these events are huge with the role play community.
Oh yeah.
Is there a calendar where people go to these? I mean, are these fairly common around LA?
Well, Dungeon Master, they perform about once a month.
Wow.
But yeah, you can find LARP guys all over the place. LARP, and immersive theater is all the rage. So there are other iterations of that happening around LA.
So now, is there anything that you can do for us? In studio right now.
Right. I know that dance, monkey boy, dance.
That's right,
dance.
Magic boy, let's see you perform.
Yeah. Well, are there cameras here?
There are.
Okay, so people are watching this.
No, we're actually not live streaming today. We sometimes do that, but we have not live streamed today. Yes.
Oh, got it. Okay, cool.
We should do that sometime, though. What we need to do is have you come back for a live stream performance. Will you do that for us sometime?
Yeah, like where they can actually see it happen?
Yeah.
That'd be
is
awesome.
Magic not good when you can't see it?
I kind of feel like a real
performer could make it work. What's your problem, dude?
You're right. You know, whatever you're paying me, cut it in half because this is just embarrassing.
You be careful. If there's one person who could do it, I would guess it would be you. I could see telepathy over the radio when you make somebody call in. I've been astounded.
But we
want to encourage you guys to go see Dungeon Masters as soon as you can. Obviously, this is a monthly event they do, but this one's coming up on the 10th.
Yeah.
Go check out their Facebook events. You can just Google them and you'll find Dungeon Masters, their spring event 2019. It's in downtown LA at the Vortex. And while you're there, stop off and see Micah Cover and ask him to do some close-up magic for you because he's pretty good at what he does, man.
Thanks, man.
He'll steal you. That was my favorite part about being at the castle.
Yeah.
Was I didn't have to worry because I knew everybody there could just steal my wallet whenever they wanted. It was like, yeah, just go ahead and let it go, man. You can walk in there. Anybody can do whatever they want. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true.
Micah, can you hang with us while we talk to Mr. Jackson for a little bit?
Oh, I'd love to.
Kendall Jackson. Jackson Kendall here. We're going to talk to
you. Wait, Jackson's up?
Kendall Jackson.
Everybody drink.
There's
Jackson
that wine.
Kendall. I'll say it one more time so people will take a shot. Jackson. There
Jackson.
We go. Our Jack. Next guest, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard his voice, is a graduate of Loyola Marymount University and a regular at Sierra Madre Playhouse. He has been seen there as Ralph in A Christmas Story, Jim in The Glass Menagerie, and Homer in Charlotte's Web.
Other credits include Ash in Evil Dead, the musical, Fred in Kiss Me, Kate, and Benny in Getting Out. Film credits include supporting roles in Security, Nelly, and Catchphrase.
Some televisions. There my lips go again. I shouldn't have bought
them. Well, they're really nice lips.
I liked you from the very beginning.
I've just been watching you the whole time.
It's good.
Kendall?
I've had them redone three times. So other credits include many things on television, including co-starring roles in My Crazy Ex, Date Ideas, and Erasing Hate. He is also the co-founder of Boomstick Theater.
I love that name.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's with us, however, to tell us about his current role as Mitch in the Sierra Madre Playhouse production of Tuesdays with Maury. Please welcome once again Jackson Kendall.
That's right.
Micah, stop it. Micah.
Get up. Get up. It's Jackson. Get up.
Do you know how Micah got all those people to applaud for you?
It
was magic.
It's an illusion. Honestly, it's an illusion.
We only had half that many.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I have to be careful with my applause buttons here because sometimes I hit the one that only goes for like 2 seconds, and then I realize that it only went for 2 seconds. I'm like, well, that just
destroyed. That's what I'm used to, so it's not an issue.
Well, I know that's not true because this production of Tuesdays with Maury has been getting great reviews standing ovations from what I understand. Have you enjoyed doing it?
This has been one of my favorite theatrical experiences of my life, just even from the standpoint of working with an actor like Larry. It's just been incredible. And then telling a story like this is a privilege, you know, because it's one of those rare times where the story you're telling is a true story. This happened. And to do it as well as it's been received so far has just been an incredible experience. I can't speak highly enough about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Jackson, you play Mitch Albom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us kind of the audience listening a summary of the plot of the play?
Well, Mitch Albom is he's a pretty well-established writer at this point. Basically, this story is about him and his mentor, his teacher, his professor at Brandeis University, Maury Schwartz, and it's the story of how they connected while they were at university together, and how when he graduated and left school, he's lost touch with that person, and you know various things happen in life, tragedies, strikes, and you sort of lose touch with one of the most important people in your life, mm-hmm. And what Tuesdays with Maury is about is that reconnection, that that coming together of two people who are so what's the word? They have such as a kismet
sure.
They're connected.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a powerful and emotional journey of love and responsibility and compassion and finding out who you are. After having sort of lost your way for what ultimately is 16 years, they went without talking at all, and then coming back together and almost picking right up where they left off in the waning months of this incredible man's life, and all the various life lessons and things that come from that. But Mitch Albom himself is he graduated, he became a sports writer, graduated from where did he go to get his master's? Columbia. Mm. He graduated in Columbia and became a sports writer, did all that, and then when he reconnected with Maury, it really totally shifted the trajectory of his life, and he wrote this this memoir. He wrote The Five People You Meet in Heaven, which is another pretty standout book of his.
Also with the same inspirational kind of feel and tone. Now, this is a true story, of course. He writes from real experiences.
Yeah.
It's nonfiction. But it's interesting, too, because he's dramatized it in a way where, this is a two-person show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's how it happened. Like,
yeah.
You sat in the room and had these conversations, and he had this catharsis, which I know when I read the book I was struck by, but the play even more puts you as a fly in the room and watching something so inspirational.
It's incredible to see. It's kind of a cliche where people say that really, the third character is the audience.
Right.
But I have to say that for this show, and I'm sure you'll agree, Larry, that the show doesn't work without that audience.
No, I've seen it three times.
The intimacy, because one of the people who was at the talkback asked why you don't have the other characters, the wife.
Interesting,
And I think it was a deliberate choice to just focus on the two men and exclude the rest.
Just the conversations that happen. That's interesting. Very interesting. I've seen it three times. Does that mean I can put it on my resume?
Absolutely.
No?
Please.
Tell me to build my resume.
The first job he had was a jazz pianist, right?
Yeah.
I think that's true.
That's what he, as the story goes, when he graduated Brandeis, he moved to New York and was a jazz pianist. Oh. And certain tragedy befell him, and he fell out of love with music, and went back to school, became a sports reporter, and succeeded in that. He had his own shows, he had his own column in Detroit.
He's still on ESPN.
Yeah, he's still.
And I read that he has a jazz band that he plays
really
with now.
Yeah, he's since reconnected. He's pretty incredible man.
His last name is Album?
Album.
Like
A-L-B-O-M.
How old would you say he is at this point?
Oh, at this point?
You mean during the events with... Right now, he's in real life, in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
Young.
Yeah.
Not young.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and this story, I think, we talked about it being a mega bestseller across the world, but more than that, I think it showed people who, at a time when the internet was being innovated and coming about and changing the way we relate to one another, showed the importance of human connection.
Oh, yeah.
And no matter what you do, if you don't have someone, a live person that you can talk to, someone who you can go sit with, someone who you can be there for and learn from, then that part of you starts to dissolve a little bit, and you come back and you need that. And if you haven't built those connections, it's harder to rebuild them. And I think this is a really inspiring tale of somebody who said, I found the importance of that, and I didn't have to have it. I wanted it. You know, and I think that's a really cool thing to find how that worked out for him and how it improved both of their lives.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can't, it's what I've taken away from this, one of the many lessons I've taken away from this experience is you can't really truly know yourself without, you know, the help of other people around you. And you can try, you know, you can try to isolate yourself and you know, call it selfishness or whatever, but, you know, really only think about your own journey or whatever. But you can't truly know who you are without the help of, you know, the people around you. And you have to be willing to open yourself up to that. And I think that's just such a, it's a hard lesson to learn, but it's an important lesson.
Well, I think Maury has that great line in the show, we're Tuesday people.
Yeah, we're
right?
Tuesday,
which
we're
I
Tuesday
love. Every time I book any appointment, it's on Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday. I think we're Thursday people. That's what we do. We're Tuesday people. We're Wednesday people. I think that's just part of the culture, is the idea of, hey, we're going to make this something that happens again and again, which I love. I think
was
that's very cool.
Was it Billy Crystal who created this role off Broadway?
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I
wow, that's a great piece of trivia. I got to look that up because I didn't see that
I
in my research.
So.
I trust you. You're right about all that stuff all the time.
Well, not necessarily, but
you
I
always
know,
are.
That
encyclopedia
that
brain.
Does ring a bell.
That's great. I had no idea.
So I'm going to say yes for
okay.
now.
And that means I can hashtag him for the show, so we're in good shape.
Yeah,
so.
Well, he's a dear friend of mine. So,
are you serious?
No.
I was going to say, bring him in. Yeah. Let's find
he's
out.
In the, he's Dial in the car.
Him. That's right. Billy, wait in the car.
I wasn't
I'll be
sure if you wanted to meet him or not.
Mr. Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, he could be alone in a car just making jokes, man. Just sitting there making jokes all by himself. Well, hey, we've warned you guys about it time and time again.
Yes.
I hope you're ready.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Micah, do you recognize that voice, Micah Cover? That's the
Who
famous
was that?
Ed Hall.
Was that Orson Welles?
Be careful.
Ed Hall.
He could do it. That's right. The famous Ed Hall who plays Scrooge in our Christmas Carol that Mike has been out to see a few times for sure.
It's a great show.
These are cool things. We do talk about kind of an embarrassing moment, something that happened when you were younger or when you were going through an audition or a film or on stage, when something went wrong and you thought you might not recover, but it turns out that you did and the show went on. Does anybody have one that comes to mind?
Jackson.
I can jump in. There's of course the various times where your pants rip on stage and you get this past year I've done a Christmas Story up at Sierra Madre for the last 2 years as the narrator, and of course the narrator doesn't leave the stage at all, and a couple of times my pants have totally ripped open and there's no place for me to
wait. That's happened more than once.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
What are you doing?
I've talked to the.
What were
do
you
do?
Doing that caused that?
Bending over? I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. But
what
it's,
kind of
it's
a
interesting.
Show
your
is blo- this?
Your blocking changes a little bit to where you're.
Ladies
trying to
and
face
gentlemen,
your,
go to Sierra Madre Playhouse and you see,
you
see Jackson's backside. That's right.
But the one that always sticks out to me was when I was back in school. I was doing Kiss Me, Kate, and I was playing Fred Petruchio, and there's this. I think it was the finale. It's either the act one finale or the finale of the show, and it's this big, big, huge number on stage. All, you know, there's like 25 people on stage, and there's, you know, there's the two, there's me and my co-star, just center stage, and we're singing in each other's faces, belting. And of course, I was sick this day, and I'm singing, I'm holding her hand, and I'm screaming into her face, you know, this big belt at the end of the show, and all of a sudden, this just huge like loogie comes flying out of my mouth like there you go. I felt great after it. Yes. It cleared out my entire I felt like I had just coughed up a lung, and it
and
just
she
went,
never talked to you again.
And she looked at me, and her face in that moment I'll never forget. It was just like her eyes wide, her mouth, and she kept singing through the whole thing. She's a pro. She is a pro. She's on Broadway now. But
and ladies and gentlemen, that girl was Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Amazing.
Micah Cover, what you got for us?
Okay, I don't have a Chippendale story. I think that's the new title now, a
no
Chippendale
nudity,
story.
Yes. No nudity.
Starring Jackson, the one-man Jackson show. Lots of things happen in one night, so I'll try to make this concise. I got to play Mark Antony. I used to be an actor.
I've seen you multiple times.
Thanks, man. And I got to play Mark Antony in Julius Caesar, and the director decided that the actor playing Julius Caesar after being assassinated would stay on stage on this kind of funeral pyre. So during Friends, Romans, Countrymen, I would literally gesture to Julius Caesar. Usually he's off stage.
Right.
He's gone. But the director said, no, let's keep him on there so that Mark Antony can show the body. Can remind the populace of what has happened.
It's a great idea. Visual.
Yeah. Great idea. And after he's assassinated, some guards would just put reverently pull a sheet over his body. So one night I'm doing the show. Now this is community theater, and there's often a shop, you know, the shop where they build everything, like literally next door to the stage.
Right.
And while I'm doing Friends, Romans, Countrymen, big deal for me.
Important speech.
Important speech. There's a frickin' saw. I couldn't believe it. They were working on some set for the next show.
Wow.
I couldn't believe during Friends, and this is like, this is my time. This is all about me and my needs. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm glancing over to the side, trying to figure out what idiot is creating the next set. And I don't see anything. I'm like, is it a ghost? And meanwhile, I'm trying to recite all this Shakespeare. I'm going nuts. And I turn around and I say, and Caesar, and it don't. All this crashes on me mentally. The sheet that they pulled over Caesar didn't quite make the body, and the hem rested on the lips.
Oh, no.
And I'm looking at Caesar, and the hem's going like this. And I'm staring at the dead corpse of Caesar. He's snoring. He's snoring during Friends, Romans, Countrymen. And I've got like 12 more pages to do. And I got to keep gesticulating to this dead corpse that has somehow been brought back to life, but isn't talking to Rome because apparently he's got some napping to do. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So finally, I ascend this funeral pyre, and I just grab him, and I say, and I got to get this guy to stop snoring.
Right.
And I grab him, and I say, and Caesar. And I swear to God, the corpse of Caesar goes, whoa, what happened? Where am I? Wow, what happened? Where am I? I don't know if that's iambic pentameter, but right. He did his best. And later that night, my mom, who teaches English, she got her degree in English. She came up to me and she said, I like the show, but when your director decided to metaphorically bring Caesar back to life. I'm like, I'm done. That was the end of my Shakespeare career. That was the end. I got to get into magic.
You said at the beginning, that you used to be an actor. You forget that I've seen your Chippendales performance.
Not as good as Jackson. As good as a Chippendales story, the one-man show starring Jackson, but still, it's what I do.
One of the few actors who's played Mark Antony and a Chippendales dancer. Pretty impressive.
In the same show. That was my homage to Jackson. Billy Crystal loved it. I call him BC. We're very tight now.
Larry, what you got for us, bud?
Yeah, what I've got for you isn't funny. It was really sad.
Oh. Oh, no.
One of the first big auditions I had was at the Mark Taper for the production of Hamlet for his best friend Horatio. I was auditioning for Dan Sullivan, and I vomited on him.
Oh, no.
And I was doing the text. And I came to the part where Horatio's talking about the ghost, and the ghost is leaving and disappeared.
I'm gonna go ahead and take my hand. Yeah, I'm gonna take my hand off the downer button because this is not a funny story.
Yeah, no. And he's talking about the ghost leaving, and I just couldn't get it. I ran off the stage and I said, and he fucking left, and I never saw him again. And then I upchucked all over Dan Sullivan's pant legs.
Larry.
And so he is talking to me, and I'm getting like paper towels and stuff, and I'm wiping the vomit off of his, and he was so nice and gracious, and he was talking to me about, you know, what I did well and what I didn't do so well. He never brought it up.
I don't like the vomit.
Interesting.
Weird choice. But he was so gracious. And I did not get the part, but I did run into him years later, and we had a laugh about it.
Now, did you ever go back to work at the taper after that?
No.
That's such a strange thing, because when that happens in theater, it's almost like, as an actor, you know, we're so vulnerable anyways.
Yeah.
There's a way that it almost makes you go, now I can get through anything, right? Like, it's like, I don't care what happens. I can handle anything I've been through.
Well, that was the worst audition I ever had, and I have to say that no other audition ever bothered me after that.
Well, hey, you have gone on to have such an amazing career, and obviously kudos on getting through that. I know that I've had people who've done that and quit the industry, that sort of thing, where something that embarrassing has happened and they just can't come back from it. Yeah. So,
and Dan Sullivan didn't quit either.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Closing night, you guys spit and spew on each other. You've had experience.
A lot of body functions here.
A lot of body functions. Just closing night. They can't fire you.
Why? One more time, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Tuesdays with Maurice, which is presently on stage at the Sierra Madre Playhouse in beautiful Sierra Madre itself. Plan an evening. Go out with your family. Go to dinner across the street at any one of these wonderful restaurants. Purchase your tickets, of course, in advance. Admission is $40 for seniors 65 and plus. It's $36, and students age 21 and under, $20. Preview, which has already passed, is not available to you, but there is a night, as we mentioned earlier, that you can pay what you can, and that is Monday, March 18th at 7 p.m.
That's great.
We should also mention that a portion of the proceeds for every ticket sold is going to the ALS, Southern California ALS.
That's fantastic. That's
and we've also added a performance where the entire proceed goes to them.
That's great.
I believe that's the 28th of March.
Yeah, it's Thursday before we close.
And all ticket sales will go directly to the ALS Foundation.
That's great. Well, obviously, if you want to find out more about that and other things going on at Sierra Madre, you can visit sierramadreplayhouse.org, sierramadreplayhouse.org. Check them out for the great things that they have coming up.
Or you can call 626-355-4318. And as they said, proceeds going to ALS, which, of course, is Lou Gehrig's disease. And keep that in mind, because that is something. That's a disease that is so
devastating.
It is.
It is. Yeah, truthfully.
It is totally that.
Well, what a day here on State of the Arts. Yeah. Larry Eisenberg, Jackson Kindle, and Micah Cover. Thank you for being here.
Proud.
Jackson.
Hey.
Jackson.
And they said we couldn't do it without inviting some girls to the show. Come on, man. We'll show them what it's about. I got to tell you, this was a fun show. Obviously, if you want to find out more about these good-looking gentlemen, you can go see their faces on our Instagram page. Hopefully, they'll link up their Instagram and Facebook pages to ours, and you guys can go find them through that. Don't forget to go check out Dungeon Masters coming up on March 10th. You can go visit that down at the Vortex. A great, great show. See Micah Cover there and the great magic that he does. And not only that, but get up. Get out of your chair. Go see some live theater somewhere in Los Angeles this weekend. Add a little bit of joy to your lives.
Absolutely. When will we see you again?
I will be here next week.
Next week?
Yes, I'll be here next week. Will you be joining me?
I will.
Always a pleasure to sit across from you, and I will look forward to seeing you where, Michael?
Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.